not one of the least challenging tunes we have. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child, as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent casts out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So I think that this passage is perhaps some of the symbols are a little bit easier to untangle than some of the others that we've seen thus far. We are turning a corner here when we come to chapter 12. We're going to start something of a new strategy, if you will. What we've seen thus far is we saw some heavenly things and some things happening on earth. We saw some titans in their struggles and so on, the big, large venue things. What we're going to look at here in chapters 12, really through the end of the book, especially chapter 20, we're going to look at the introduction of the 4 great spiritual enemies of God and of his people and we're going to see each of them dispatched in order. So here is the first introduction. This is the dragon. After the dragon will come the beast. After the beast will come the false prophet. And after the false prophet will come the harlot, yeah. And then they will be dispatched in reverse order, in chiastic order. Okay, so then we'll see the whore, the false prophet, the beast, and then the dragon, all dispatched. And so this last section is a grand, large, and spiritual section. It doesn't mean that there aren't subsections in it. There are. We have the seven bowls, or the vials, of God's wrath that are yet to come in a couple of chapters hence. But we are starting over in our chronology here. And I think that's pretty clear from the end of the last chapter, which was what? The seventh trumpet, the final judgment. And now where do we go at the beginning of chapter 12? We go all the way back to the beginning of the inter-Advent age with a woman ready to give birth. And the one to whom she gives birth is the one who is set to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Now, those symbols are pretty clear. So, first of all, let's clear out a couple of difficulties. We're not talking about this woman here being Mary. Some have said that. Some have interpreted this as Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is not Mary. This is not the Queen of Heaven that we're looking at here in some kind of Mary-olatrous perversion. This is the church herself. Okay? This is the church herself. It is the church, largely considered, that gives birth to the Messiah. He is born among his people. He came unto his own, we hear, don't we? So, the great wonder that is in heaven, the first, is a woman clothed with the sun. Notice, it is not her own reflection. It is not her own glory. She is clothed with glory. That is, that she is indeed clothed with the righteousness of Christ, which shines in glorious nature like the sun. The moon is under her feet. That is, that second luminary that rules the night is under her feet. So she treads upon that which is dark, and so on. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Important in its symbology. First of all, she has a crown upon her head. That is, that she is indeed some kind of royalty because of her relationship to the triune God. But notice it is also interesting that over and again there are false appellations to those entities that would call themselves churches and so on. They say of themselves that they are like queens in the Old Testament. I don't have any references here. But you'll know what I mean. I sit as a queen and I'm no widow and so on. This was spoken of sinful Jerusalem when she had turned away from the Lord. So this is the true queen, the one who is elevated to the position of royalty. And she has 12 stars in this crown. And some theologians have mused on this that, you know, it's interesting because here we are at the beginning of Christ's birth before the church as the New Testament entity under the apostles is established. And so we only have 12 instead of 24, right? The 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, Jesus Christ is born out of the church of the Old Testament. So it's only 12 rather than 24, like we saw the 24 elders that were gathered around the throne, representative of the church of the Old and New Testaments. All right, so here she is. She has a crown of 12 stars, and she is with child, and so she travailed in birth, and she was pained to be delivered. She hasn't yet given birth. And then there's a dragon, a second sign in heaven, a great red dragon. And what is this great red dragon ready to do? He is ready to devour the child as soon as it was delivered. He's ready to devour that child. Well, interestingly, in Scripture, Pharaoh is known as a dragon. What did Pharaoh try to do to the Israelite males that were born? He wanted them devoured. What did Herod try to do? He wanted Christ devoured. and so on. And so, prophetically, we've seen this before, but now we see who stands behind all of that. Right? This is the great red dragon. This is Satan himself. Okay, so how does he appear? He appears with seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. Wow. There are not many that are willing to give that much to Satan, to give up that much to him, right? That he has seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. Well, what we're going to find is that there are many quote-unquote kings of the earth that are really nothing other than a manifestation of Satan himself. What is it? And we'll get to this when we start talking about the beasts later on. But what is it the duty of every king to do? What do we read in Psalm 2? It's the duty of every king to kiss the sun. It's the duty of every king to rule as those who will be judged by the judge of all the earth, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what happens when they don't do that? Well, then their ministry as God's minister is perverse and bestial, beast-like, instead of what it ought to be. That Satan has seven heads, ten horns, and crowns upon his head should surprise no one, because every godless government that has ever existed has been a manifestation of nothing other than the great red dragon. Always opposed to Jesus Christ, always ready to devour him whenever he gets an opportunity. This was manifested in Pharaoh. It was even manifested in Herod. And it continues to be manifested. I fear that it is also manifested in the United States of America. Okay? So every godless government that has ever existed is really nothing other than one of these heads with this royal diadem, this royal crown upon it. Ten horns, that is that there is a multiplicity of power. Satan is a powerful entity to be dealt with. He is a civilly advanced entity. That is, he has a crown upon his seven heads. So he stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Do you see what verse 5 does? It compresses the entirety of Christ's ministry into one verse. Right? He's born, and then he's taken up to God. Okay? Why is that? Because this story is not necessarily about him. It's about the contest between the dragon and the woman. It's the contest between the dragon and the woman that is being emphasized here in chapter 12. So what happens then? The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. A little bit later on, it's called a times, time, and half a time. This is the inter-Advent age, as we said before. Times, time, and half a time. Now, what is so very interesting about this is that, and we'll see this in a moment, but this is a prophetic recapitulation, if you will, of what happened to Israel. Right? Israel was in Egypt. The dragon stood before her. She was, through great travail, ready to be delivered out of that bondage. And what happened, she gave birth, if you will, right, through the Red Sea. You know, these are all very large images. And Moses, as that type of Christ, led her through the Red Sea. The great red dragon was there ready to devour her male offspring, including Moses. He was miraculously preserved by God. And what happened immediately after that? She was led into the wilderness to be protected. So it's a prophetic recapitulation of that. But this is, again, large prophetic strokes to speak about the inner Advent age and what happens to the church, what happens to the people of God. The contest is still going on. Satan, we'll see a little bit later in this chapter, is still after the woman. Okay? All right. So then, notice now we're going to change scenes. We've seen a great sign in heaven, a great sign in heaven. Now there's war in heaven. And so this angel that is named Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So keep in mind, my dear brothers and sisters, that there has been this great contest. I believe that Michael, in this passage, not in every passage where Michael is used, but in this passage, I believe that Michael is used as an epithet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of you will know or will remember that the name Michael is Hebrew for the one who is like God. The one who is like God. I don't think we can always say that Michael refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even here, it may not refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It may refer to another created angel named Michael. But if it refers to that created angel, Michael, he operates under the authority of Jesus Christ. And so it's no assault to the deity of Christ in any particular way. But there is a cosmic, a heavenly battle between Satan and his angels and Michael and his angels, and Satan is cast out. Satan is cast out of heaven. He is no longer on the loose in heaven, accusing the brethren as testimony to Christ's ministry upon earth and his ushering in the kingdom of God. Jesus said to those preachers that came back to him, the 70, after he sent them out, they came back to him and they said, "The devils are subject to us in thy name." He said, "Oh yeah, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And so Satan has been cast out of heaven, which is indeed the precursor to his full and final judgment, where he will be cast out from everywhere into the lake of fire at the end of days. We read about that in chapter 20. So he's come down now to the earth to wreak havoc down here upon earth. He's no longer the accuser of the brethren in heaven because the Lord Jesus stands as the mediator for them there. He has no word in heaven anymore against you, against the people of God. And so now what does he do? He comes down to the earth to make havoc for the people of God here, temporally. No more accusation for some kind of eternal havoc to be wreaked. No. Now the havoc that he wreaks is temporal here upon earth. Leon Morris said about it, "Satan does all the damage that he can, but he cannot prevail over the church in any ultimate way." All right, so he was cast out. And let's see, is it down here where it says that? I don't remember now. It says the great dragon was cast out. He was cast out. His angels were cast out with him. Before that, in verse 4, it says that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And there are two prevailing interpretations on that. And I think both of them are really interesting. I think I prefer the latter, but it's hard to decide. In one interpretation, the devil is drawing a third of the angelic host with him. And so the devils, and remember that in the book of Revelation, the one third, let's not think of that as 33.333333%. Let's think of that as a substantial amount less than half. Okay? Substantial amount, but less than half. And so it may be that when Satan fell, he drew with him a third of the created angels with him, and they make up the host of the devils that we know now. Or it may be also, and I think I prefer this especially after the reading in chapter 11, that those stars represent the stars that Jesus was holding in his hand at the beginning, the ministers of the churches, and that there are indeed a substantial amount in that outer court that are preaching error, that they were drawn to the earth with Satan struck by his tail. That it is also possible. And it's difficult to be dogmatic on either one of those interpretations. So it's either the devilish hordes that go with Satan, or it is the devilish ministers that are identified in other places in Scripture as stars that have been drawn out of heaven with the tail of Satan And so that would be those preachers of false doctrine in the outer court of the Gentiles. Okay? All right, so when Satan is cast down to the earth, we have this loud voice, verse 10, that comes out of heaven. It says, now is come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Verse 12 is a very fearful verse. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and they that dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Having great wrath, maybe that means anger against the saints of God. Or maybe it means he has great wrath upon him, and so he serves as one who is under wrath. All right, so when the dragon saw that he had been defeated and cast to the earth, verse 13, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Like we said before, those godless governments, those false churches, those things that have the appearance of dignity and royalty, if they do not kiss the Son, they are but beasts. They are the heads of the dragon, and they are given to persecute the woman and her child. The woman who brought forth the man-child. All right, so the woman, they were given her two wings of a great eagle. If you're a literalist, boy, it's going to get really weird really fast. But thankfully we're not. These are prophetic, apocalyptic symbols. And remember what the Lord said about his people of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. What did he say? I bear you on eagle's wings. It's that kind of language. And we're to think of that. We're supposed to be good Bible scholars so that when we hear things like that, we know what it came from. Right? So, what has happened in heaven is that Satan has been cast out. Now that he has come to the earth, then he's trying to wreak havoc upon the woman. But the woman is given two wings like an eagle. Deuteronomy 32, 10 through 12, and Exodus 19:4, where we read about the Lord protecting his people by giving them wings of eagles, or bearing them up on eagles' wings. And so she is taken out into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So that same period of time, that 1260 days, that 42 months, she is protected and nourished from the face of the serpent. He will not destroy her. He will not touch her. She is protected there in the wilderness. Now, interestingly, notice the serpent casts out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Well, there's some symbology that we know a little something about. We're not left to wonder, really, in the broad strokes of that, are we? Okay, so what happened when the dragon of Egypt, Pharaoh, was chasing Israel after she had left? Do you remember what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, they have backed themselves up to the sea. We're going to get them in the water. Right? We'll get them by the water. Well, this is very similar to what we see here. It's a prophetic advancement, if you will, of that day, except this is something here that is for the New Testament. That she's going to be backed up against the water. The water is going to be that which catches her. But no, the Lord parts those waters, you remember, and she passes through on dry land. But there's another interesting thing as well. Now think with me. There's only one other time that I was able to find in the Scripture when the ground opened up in protection of the people of God. Can you think of that? Numbers chapter 16. And in Numbers chapter 16, there was, if you will, go with me on the symbolism here. There was a flood that came in among the people of God. And it was brought in by someone within the church, a man by the name of Korah. And he said, Moses and Aaron, you take too much upon yourselves. All the congregation is holy. Now he was a Levite. There were two other families that were not Levites that were also caught up in that same error. And you can tell that they were thinking the same thing because Moses called them, come and let us have a conference. And they said what? We will not go up. Moses, you have no business commanding us to do anything. You take too much on yourself. Do you remember what Moses said in Numbers 16 following that? He said, if these men die the death of all flesh, if they grow old and die, in other words, then the Lord has not spoken by me. But if the Lord do a new thing and cause the ground to open up between them such that it swallows them up, then you will know that a prophet has been among you. And right about that time, the ground opens up and down go, can I say it this way? The flood of evildoers that had plagued the church. So this is the only other time in Scripture where we have the ground opening up to deliver the church. So what happens? She goes into the wilderness. Satan belches out of his mouth a flood. The ground opens up and helps the woman and delivers her from the flood of the ungodly. The ungodly ideas, the ungodly men, those who might even be in her midst. That court of the Gentiles, the doctrines and commandments of men that have become recognized as a quote-unquote part of the visible church. There's something else that's interesting about this interpretation that I hope that you'll give me a little bit of liberty with. I wouldn't make it dogma, but I would say this. When we were looking at the first seven churches, we saw a particular error that pertained to the church, the Nicolaitan error, or the Balaamite error. And we looked at the language, the Hebrew and the Greek, and we saw that Balaam and Nicolaos, they mean the same thing. It's those who overcome or lord it over the people of God. There's an error there. The early church, the seven churches in some respect, had been affected by the Balaamite error, where their elders were no longer ministers, but they had become lords over God's heritage. May I say that the error that is represented here is the exact opposite error. That it is the error that all the congregation is holy. Now what's interesting to me about that is that the flood that the enemy of our souls sends is often found in our midst. This is the difficulty that I think is being most properly talked about here. That when we see the ground opening up and sparing the woman from the flood which comes out of the mouth of the dragon, when the earth opened up in Numbers 16, it was to protect the people of God from people within their midst. The same thing is true of the church of all ages. There are days often that occur where we must be protected from those within our midst who would bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them. From your own number shall arise ravenous wolves, not sparing the flock, Paul will say, and Peter will say. So, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the, notice, remnant